Last orders at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales, a curated 5e Dungeons & Dragons adventure set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal campaign module by Wizards of the Coast. Previously on Tavern Tales, getting the drop on a pair of orcs on their way back to the Redoubt, the band of dwarves have uncovered some unique gifts, but now the summit awaits.
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So I won't end up being alone, 'cause I won't drink my drink alone. So what about you? One beer or two, I'll drink to you.
Priscilla.
Oh my god, it's so cute!
Thank you!
What's going on? It looks like you found lunch!
That was really good.
That was perfect.
That was good.
Tessicar comes up to like grab the pig. And...
No! This is my pig!
But Eldith, I'm hungry!
No, this is not an eating pig. This is my Pigasus. Little piggy, what was your name?
I'm Priscilla.
Aww. Are you a girl?
No.
Oh.
I'm a boy pig.
Okay.
Boy pig. Orcs can't tell the difference.
Oh, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm going to love you, and I'm going to feed you, and I'm going to love you.
You know when, like, you have one of those kids and they get a new kitten and it just suffocates it with love?
Okay, I gotta do a choking noise. One sec.
I didn't breathe.
Pretty Pigasus.
Yep, that's great.
Yep.
They have a little nuzzle. How's Oscar feel about that?
He stops sharpening his dagger. See what's gonna cook him up. I have a nice pork roast.
I think I'm going to continuously have sanctuary cast on my Pigasus.
There's no need, because you were given 5,500 flying pigs. Particular one naturally has sanctuary cast on it at all times. It cannot be harmed. Unless it harms another.
Perfect.
Let me describe for you the setting you find yourselves in. You have traveled north from the mining town of Blazing Dell. You have passed through pine forests and deep vales through the Numblefoot farm and now have arrived at the Stone Tooth Mountain. You catch sight of a tall, steep hill that rises to a prominent bare knob of rock, the Stone Tooth. A thin spire of smoke rises from some unseen point high on the hill's slopes, and you can make out a steep, narrow road or track that runs back and forth across the face of the mountainside. You have several options in front of you. You've seen that orcs are coming back to the Stone Tooth. There might be more leaving at any time. There might be more returning at any time. You're unsure. The hill rises 1,600 feet into the air, and you do see that thin spire of smoke, but you're not sure as to where it comes from. You could make your way up the switchback trail the orcs were walking along. You could try to find where that thin spire of smoke is coming from. Or you could take a further look around to see if there's anything else.
I could also cast invisibility on somebody if they wanted to sneak ahead.
That'd be good for the rogue, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be good for me.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to try to find where the smoke is coming from?
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay.
From this angle, you're not sure. Tessicar immediately begins to proceed away from the switchback trail, heading towards the steep embankment of the 1,600-foot climb to the Stone Tooth.
Okay. Well, we'll follow. I mean, If Teskar is already going.
Teskar starts saying stuff about the prophecy that Chelsea's doubtlessly forgotten again. But Teskar remembers very distinctly about the climbing the face of the Stone Tooth. And from there, you'll see where you need to be.
So does the smoke spire look like a smoke finger?
Yes, it might. Not from your angle. You just know that there's a little bit of smoke.
Because I had that connection with Teskar in relation to his vision, I immediately follow him knowing where this is leading to and the other things that we needed to look for.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm following too.
I guess I'd probably be ahead of everyone, kind of scouting out, would I not? Because I have invisibility cast on me.
I can cast it now.
You can cast invisibility if you'd like to, but you know the orcs would be coming up from behind you if they're and you're going a certain way, or they're coming out of that switchback trail that leads into the mountain. I mean, you don't see them going up and down that switchback trail. I would recommend you don't need to use a spell of that caliber at this point, but you can. I mean,
it might be better just to save my
advantageous to your
yeah, we'll hold
you're moving. You move forward, you get to the stone, the face of the mountain as well, and you begin to climb. How do you go about doing that?
1,600 feet is a lot of mountain to climb. Do we maybe want to try and figure out how to do a rope, like a climbing rope? Do we have anything to like hook into the mountain as we go up, like to make it more safe and secure?
I happen to be an acrobat as well as all of my other accomplishments. And I happen to know that if you want to have a safety harness and climb, there are ways to do these things.
What are those things?
So I can, you know, use pitons and climb up and make a protective place in the rock and then keep on climbing. I am a decent climber.
You're a descent climber.
Descent climber.
I have mason tools, so I think those might help us grip and climb.
I don't know if you help you grip, but it definitely can help you create handholds, gouge out chunks of rock to make some handholds. It's not always going to be helpful, but something. Anything else?
Can we just depend on strength?
Yes.
Strength climb our way up.
I have mason's tools as well.
Just to help dig holds in harder places.
I've got my flat iron rod, my immovable rod.
Oh, yeah.
They can use the hook on stuff. It's pretty sweet.
Hey, you have a bunch of flying bread. Could they fly us up?
No, it's not useful for that.
Ah,
too bad our pig isn't big enough.
An hour or two of very hard hiking brings you all to the summit. The Stone Tooth is about 1,600 feet in height, towering over the neighboring hills by 500 feet or more. But these last 100 feet are a sheer point of rock, requiring a very difficult strength athletics check to climb successfully. So, since you have a need to be at the top of this vantage...
It has to be strength athletics.
Strength athletics it is. Now, you could rely on somebody else to climb up first, lower a rope, and then allow you to make a dexterity acrobatics check.
Yes, please.
I was going to say, I have +5. Does anyone have...
Whoa.
But I'm really strong.
I have 4.
Okay, you're so strong. I don't know if I tell you this enough.
Aw, thanks. Aw, shucks.
So, who's going to make the check and climb first?
Can 3 of us make the check?
You 3 of you want to scramble up the hill together?
Oh, no.
Because it would have to be at the same time.
First, I'm going to sing a little song for...
Encouragement,
please. My good friend Foggy and...
Guidance!
Thanks. and I'm gonna be so like, what is guidance give me again?
D4.
My friend... Climbing is difficult. Climbing is hard. I hope you don't fall and break yourself like a bard.
Thank you.
All right, make your check.
22.
That is amazing. Good job. You doubtlessly took as much help as you could from...
Yes, I needed it,
from
apparently.
From the bolstering song sung to you by Melusine, whose words have probably softened your heart for that red-haired comment earlier.
Yeah.
And then... something from an abyssal place hoists you up a little bit, gives you an extra advantage, and finds its way into the insides of Fogrim. Feels like there's something squirming around in there from the guidance of this warlock's dark god.
So I'm thinking this actually came from Melusine because I can't see, right? I'm just feeling this inside me.
totally feels like the dark black god of
So I kind of know what's happening.
Yeah, you definitely have a feel like something that is not connected to Melusine, because you accepted the guidance of Tessikar. Its goatly hoof has placed its mark upon you.
So at first I didn't like it. And then I was like, it's not that bad. I relax and it's okay.
Just accept it.
That seems like exactly what it wanted to. Just, you'll be fine with it.
Yeah, no, I just resisted at first and then accepted, and then it wasn't so bad.
It wriggles around and curls in a ball and goes to sleep. You have made it to the summit. All alone, you stand looking over the vista. Your four friends and family members are down below. You've got a big length of rope to lower down to them to help them up this last 100-foot climb. And you, by assisting, grant them advantage on their own checks.
Nice.
Who will go second?
I will.
Guidance!
I do not accept it.
You'll regret it!
It's not that bad. Can I inspire myself?
Bardic inspiration, I think, can only be granted to others.
All right. 18.
18 is enough for you to scrabble and fight and claw to get your way to the top. Who goes next?
Oscar goes next. 19.
Yeah, I don't think you even use your legs. Hand over hand. Up the top.
I, Eldith, go next.
Sure.
And I leave my brother down by there by himself.
Guidance!
I do not accept.
Oh!
21.
That is also enough to climb up to the top and to look out over the vista beyond. And then, of course, Tessikar climbs to the top.
We finally made it.
Yay!
Tessikar asks for guidance. Tessikar has made it.
Yay! Can I do like the Rocky thing where I just randomly put my arms up in the air and just because I'm really happy that we're all on top of a mountain. That's how I feel.
The view is so spectacular, so breathtaking, and so monumental that you all receive advantage.
Yay!
Woohoo! I should use some of these.
What is something beautiful that you see in the distance that so inspires you, Marie Claire?
What time of day is it?
It's pretty late in the afternoon, nearing dinner.
You know how when the sun peeks through the clouds and it creates almost like the beam of light that looks like...
the heavenly rays?
Like God is like peeking through the light. Yeah, that's what I see. It looks beautiful.
What do you see, Aaron?
I see a beautiful hawk soaring through the sky majestically.
Allison?
I actually see a field of wildflowers. And normally you wouldn't be able to see that, but it's so vast. It's so large. And they're all yellow.
Cool.
It's a yellow, yellow field.
And?
I see Priscilla in front of my face. And I'm holding her nose up to my nose and doing an Eskimo kiss.
And she's like,
I'm like, oh, man, you're so cute.
He's like,
you can give me back your inspiration. No, I'm just kidding. To the north, a swath of rain is falling quite a far ways away. You can see that line of the rain, knowing that it's there. And just south of it, in between a pair of mountains, you can see the double rainbow from where the rain has been.
We can take a rest here.
I think Eldeth should cure my wounds.
If I do cure your wounds, I have no spells left.
You did cause
me not. You all attacked with me asking for you not to and didn't even give me an opportunity. So whose fault is it?
They started it.
There is a spectral throat clearing. It's like...
Who was that?
You turn to look around and you can see through a figure into the double rainbow. There is a figure of a dwarf with thick black hair and a thick black beard, wearing a thick black doublet and carrying a thick shield. It's not black though, because that's just too much black. And it is definitely Durgeddon the Black, the Stonehammer progenitor, because you can tell he has the same nose the five of you have. He is not speaking, and he points off where you can see down the southern slope a crack in the mountain itself, almost a vent that is issuing out light grayish smoke, the finger of smoke.
Oh, we have a no pope. It's to be white smoke, not gray smoke. But thanks for playing.
Yeah, they're still undecided. So as you're inspired by the vista around you, you also happen to notice a few other things and important topographical elements to the Stone Tooth. You see to the east a large lake. It is about 400 yards away from you and quite far down. This lake stretches quite a bit to the north and to the east as well. It's almost called a mere, but it is a lake itself. You see that finger of smoke trickling up into the air, and you also see better the front entrance of the Stone Tooth's redoubt as well. This old dwarf path leads up to a bare shoulder of rock and turns into a deep cleft in the hillside. Looks like it's been very well created, and it looks like it's seen a lot of use. Entranceway is, it looks like it's been carved out of the mountain itself and it's hidden away, but from your vantage point you can see it. You would not be able to see it from the ground at all, which is why it's a hidden readout.
I think we should probably go to the entrance, because if I recall the riddle correctly, there is 5 levels that we have to descend, which, with how far up we just climbed, I feel like it would make sense that the 5 levels are within this mountain.
What happened to the dwarf that we came across? Did I miss that?
The ghost of Turgeddon the Black?
Yeah.
He was pointing at the finger of smoke.
He didn't say anything? He just pointed
Did not seem to speak, but he pointed to it as though it was of import.
Okay, sorry. I had forgotten that.
And that finger of smoke is quite a distance away and down. The entrance itself is between you and it. You would be able to circle around, climb down a scree and an escarpment. Walking along the top of that, you would be able to get down past the entrance to where this finger of smoke is issuing forth from a vent within the mountain itself.
So I think I kind of remember the riddle a little bit. Or like at least the main parts. So it was something about we have to find the tooth of stone, which I think we've done.
Check.
To summit, we must find. We found the summit.
Uh-huh.
To the smoke finger. So I think we have to go to the smoke finger. And then there's a weird riddle that we have, that there's 5 choices after we've descended to 5 levels.
So that's probably after we go in, right?
Yeah. So I think we do the finger. And then we find the cave. Yeah. And then we descend.
What did you do in that band camp or something? You know you're on your relatives, including your brother. Just double checking. We're all family here.
I was just saying the real.
Okay. Not going to address it.
Tessicar laughs long and hard and actually has a moment with Eldeth because Tessicar likes that sort of thing.
It's a sister, man.
It's illusion! That's what she's saying! It's funny!
To the smoke we go.
Off to the smoke we go. Hi-ho.
Oh, hi-ho. A bunch of dwarves going.
Exactly.
So I will point out, it is getting on to dusk. You have traveled all day, and you did have the wonderful bags of good food provided to you by the Numblefoot Farm. However, you had left early that morning and now are arriving late on in the evening.
Is there a place to rest?
Well,
we're on top of a mountain.
I assume your question is actually more like, is there a reasonably good and secure place to rest your eyes? You could rest on the summit, but you might fall, so it would take time to climb down. I mean, you could make a survival check to see if you could find something that seems to be kind of secluded or allow you to make a campfire. You could find something with a easy that no campfire, since it would then possibly attract attention at a DC 12, and a DC 17 would find you a location that could possibly you could have a campfire and have a secluded evening.
Can we all check?
Of course. I would definitely prefer that one person with the best check roll with advantage as opposed to everyone rolling.
It's not me.
Nope. Under survival, you say?
Yes.
We don't have survival. We've already gone through this. So exactly. It's whoever has the most wisdom.
Who has the most wisdom? I only have one.
I have 2.
2.
Since supposedly your character is skilled in survival and your ability would be a 3, we'll say that Fogrim makes the check with advantage.
Okay. Guidance!
I liked it last time. You guys just gotta embrace it.
Never.
Oh, God, no! What on earth? What is this? I've never in my life. Holy shit. Double natural ones.
So even with the plus two, you're a total of six
I'm
on your check.
I'm so sorry, guys. That's going anywhere.
How's that god doing for you now?
So Fogrim pulls the rope back up to the top of the summit. The wind howls fiercely. And Fogrim says, well, they can't get us here, I guess, or something. What does Fogrim say after you pull up the rope and suggest that you camp right there on the top of the Stone Tooth?
I likes it up here.
It's very evident that Fogrim has had a minor aneurysm.
Sorry, I'm going to take a picture of this because I love this. I'm sending it to Chelsea.
Who doesn't love to see with advantage rolling double ones? A 1 in 400 chance.
Can we by chance think Fogrim is insane and try to roll by ourselves?
You all helped Fogrim get to this point. You all helped Fogrim realize that camping right here, right now is the best place to be.
You know, sometimes when you need to sleep precariously on top of a trapeze, you just tie yourselves together.
So if we all go, we
Who
all
sleeps
go together.
On a trapeze?
Don't judge me.
I think Fogrim should sleep closest to the edge.
Whoa.
There were five in the bed. And the little one said,
move over.
All right, Fogrim, take 20 d6 damage. No, just kidding.
No!
That's what I say as I fall down the face of the mountain.
Yeah. With that, you spend a huddled and cold night on the top of the Stone Tooth. Oscar, at one point, says,
it is so cold up here. Why did we come up here?
So we could see where the smoke was coming from.
But it is so cold.
You are warmed by the sound of your own debate as it rages at length throughout the night. And in the morning... Oh, sorry, wait. Remember how I commented about that shroud of rain to the north?
Oh, no.
Some point around 2:30 in the morning, the wind shifts. And you feel these wet, thick splots hitting you in the shoulders, top of the head, all around you on the Stone Tooth as a deluge of rain falls upon the stone hammers on the top of the mountain.
As I feel the rain start to fall, I pull my shield out and put it covering just me.
And Priscilla says,
But what about me? Oh, sorry, Priscilla, I forgot about you. You can cuddle up with me right here on my chest.
Oh, good, I'll be there too,
says Tessikar as he tries to get under your shield as well.
And I kick him in the junk. 10 damage.
And I make a comment about, Donnie and Marie. Like, I'm not liking any of this sibling stuff that I'm seeing.
And that debate rages on for hours as well. Very little shut-eye is gleaned. On the next two checks you're requested to make, you will have disadvantage, as morning does not really appear grandiosely. It kind of just gets lighter in the rain as you make your way down the face of the mountain along the escarpment to the chimney itself. A natural rock chimney leads down into the caverns below. There is a thin stream of smoke still rising through it, and if you had not known where that was the night before, you would not be able to find it in the rain this morning. It does look large enough to fit a descending character if you wish to try to find your way into the Forge of Fury by way of this chimney.
So we can only fit one person.
One person can climb down this shaft at a time.
Who has the most hit points?
I have 30, but I don't know if we want me rolling again.
I also have 30.
Okay. Anyone have more than 30?
I don't think
25.
So. 25. I will go first.
I can cast invisibility on you.
And head down the chimney.
Yeah.
Do we want to do it based on, so me with strength and higher hit points, or do we want to do it with you as stealth?
Oh.
And invisibility.
I think strength might be more important than stealth for
going. Well, because I'm probably going to get disadvantage on that.
We can double up for advantage. So if we tie a rope around Oscar and lower him down, you and I working together, take away disadvantage, and then it's just a regular roll.
Could we also do that for...
Yeah, either way.
Yeah.
We just lower the person down.
As you're discussing all of this, I need perception checks from everyone.
With disadvantage.
With disadvantage.
Can I spend one of these to
Yes, you can.
I'm too busy talking about my plan.
10.
10 is exactly what you needed to discern that two orcs have left the hidden readout, well, not so hidden from your vantage point, and are making their way down the switchback towards the two dead orcs you left on the path.
Right.
Hey, fam. So, we didn't move those bodies off the road, and there's two orcs heading that way.
I guess I could have done something besides kick them. My bad.
You think?
You got a pig out of it.
Send forth the micro pig.
So nobody moved the bodies?
No. We live with our consequences. Oh, or we don't.
How many do you have?
I have two.
It just takes one.
Make it for rain. You to have
hauled the bodies away into the underbrush. Please describe that miss in the story by a person who stops the tale for just that purpose.
Excuse me.
Sorry, what?
Excuse me.
Yes, you in the front row.
I remember that wonderful bard, Melusine, the Magnificent.
Are you in fact Melusine?
Not at all. I remember Melusine had come up with a brilliant thought before leaving the orcs in the road and had actually hidden them in the underbrush off the side.
Well, it doesn't seem to matter at this point in the story. I just thought that I recalled the orcs finding the bodies and hurrying back into the tunnel. But if that's not what happened, that might make better sense
Melusine
to what...
No, Melusine is much smarter than that.
Right, of course. And it does make better sense in regards to the story as to what happened later.
Yes, I remember that quite well.
Thank you for your interruption. Sir? She says with a question mark.
Yes, young lady.
Oh, it's definitely an older lady.
Old lady. Is that how old you are?
All in pink.
I wasn't trying to go for a Dolores Umbridge, but apparently that's all I could do.
Wow.
You came across creepy. Not Dolores Umbridge creepy, but still.
I got like a female salad fingers creepy.
The two orcs move down the path and leave the area.
Yay.
Entirely.
Success.
We planned that all along.
Who descends the chimney?
Why don't you guys rock, paper, scissors for it?
The two characters actually play rock, paper,
That's
scissors?
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, okay. So the two characters now play rock, paper, scissors to determine who gets to go down first. So Oscar, because you won, does that mean you don't have to go down first?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
It seemed like he won, so he got to go down, but that's not the way that
I was
went.
Thinking whoever won got to pick out of the two.
I think Oscar was always going to let her go down first. Because if Eldeth won, Eldeth was going to go down first. And if Oscar won, Eldeth was going to go down first.
Well, it kept us from arguing.
Would you like to be invisible?
Does anybody have a rope that by chance they want to tie around their waist just in case I hit a wall?
Let's use the rope that I used to get us up here.
Perfect.
So I tie that around myself and...
Yeah.
Can we do the three of us?
Invisible Eldeth?
Yeah.
And cast
with the rope just going down the hole.
Just an empty rope with a hole.
No one's going to suspect a rope. So we're just fishing for hawks.
Absolutely.
We're hawk fishing, if anyone asks.
Cave hawk fishing.
I have disadvantage on this.
If you're helping, they provide advantage. So it just balances out to just normal roll.
Teamwork.
Yeah.
Nothing better than teamwork.
That song doesn't help anything, but.
But she doesn't have...
Are you giving her bardic inspiration?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, okay, so I take it back.
You've been granted bardic inspiration. Of your choice, you have a d6 to roll. You have a d6 that you may use to make any check. That is a d20 check. You may now add that one d6 to it whenever you want for the rest of the session. One time. So you can use it now or you can use it later.
I'm going to use it now.
You begin to descend down the shaft. It is 80 feet long. And its walls are irregular and rough, but slippery because of the rain, requiring you to now make a successful strength athletics check to climb. However, because a rope has been anchored at the top of the shaft by your three family members, that reduces the difficulty by 5, and you have to work your way through the smoke as you go down as well. So roll it up.
12.
That is enough. If you had not had an anchored rope, you would have needed a 15. All you needed was a 10. So their anchoring definitely helps you at one point. As you slip, your ankle sort of starts to turn and you fall 3 or 4 feet to be jerked to a halt by your family members above. Tessikar says, "Are you even holding that?"
And I try, even though it's a jerk, I try to stay as silent as possible because I know that I'm invisible.
Yes. You make your way into the opening of a room. A large smoky fire crackles in the center of the room. Battered pots and kettles are stacked all over. Clearly, the space serves as a crude kitchen. You feel a distinct draft as smoke is drawn up through the rough hole in the ceiling you've descended through. There is but one exit. It is to the northeast of you.
What shape is the room?
It is roughly rectangular.
And there's obviously nobody in this room at the current moment.
There's no one there.
Can I hear any footsteps coming from the exit?
Nope, there's no sounds being issued forth at all.
Before I went down the rope, did we have a signal for me to indicate if you should follow?
Not really.
No, we didn't plan this out very well. We never really do. We just kind of leap.
Or drop. Or lower. Or climb. Yeah.
We just
so far,
do. We do not plan.
So Priscilla was still tucked away.
Sure.
And so I wake her up.
But then Priscilla would be visible.
Yes, but there's no one in the room.
But Priscilla was visible the whole way down then?
Yeah.
Which seems...
It's just a flying pig being...
But she was in my armor, so is she masked by the...
No.
So yeah, she was just a flying pig on a rope.
She's up top.
Oh.
She flies down.
Okay.
To check in on you.
Okay.
Hello.
Are you okay?
Priscilla, I need you to tell my family a message. Can you do that? I'll give you a treat and a belly rub.
Okay.
Priscilla flies back up to the top.
And I give her the message.
Communicates to the friends.
I'm going to say to the dwarves that are up here.
Eldeth has a message.
What's the message?
One sec.
Yes! Priscilla flies back down.
You didn't say she had to be a smart Pegasus.
Are you going to wait for me to tell you the message this time?
I was just trying to be helpful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Priscilla, tell them that I'm in a kitchen, I think, and I don't hear any footsteps, and there's no one around, so if they wanted to descend, now would be the time, unless they want to pull my ass back up.
Priscilla nods once.
Yeah.
Flies right back up top. Says to the group, roll a d20 to see how much of that Priscilla got.
He was assuming none. Oh my god, everything. Yeah. Everything.
She reiterates the entire message word for word with a real, real large emphasis on pulling up her ass.
Pull up her ass.
Which Priscilla naturally assumed to be a burrow.
A donkey.
A little flying burrow that Eldeth also happens to have.
I just haven't met him yet.
I need to listen to more Elvis. I obviously have no idea what Elvis sounds like. Even though she emphasizes that we pull her up, I would say we should go down. Anyone else's thoughts?
No, I think we should go down this flaming and smoking hole.
When you say it like that, how can we say no? Is there a strategic way we should do this? Because last time we sent the strongest person first. Is there like an order you think we should do this? Because what happens with the last person? They have to go down without a rope, essentially.
Well, you have all of the flying bread. Can you not like stack them on top of each other and just kind of gently?
I mean.
No, wait. You can eat a piece and have wings.
It's for Dash. It's for Dash. It's
but
not for flying.
You do fly.
Can I hand out bread to my compatriots? Or does it only work on me?
No, of course you can hand out bread to your compatriots, but they only get 25 feet of Dash. There, it is an 80-foot climb down this thing.
So eat basically, it in the last second.
You're just no, you would still, that momentum would not be reduced, unfortunately. You would just fly into the ground.
I mean, just
it's
have
a good idea.
You're no longer falling, you're flying.
Yay!
Bam!
Yeah.
Momentum being what it is.
Damn it. I thought that was going to be brilliant.
Stupid science.
I don't think there's a way around this. I think we just have to, you know, flying bread. You are both a curse and a blessing.
I guess Oscar will go down second. Go down next.
Sure.
Just lower me down.
So we lower you down.
Great. Make a roll.
Guidance.
Just no. No guidance.
So it's Oscar. This is what I do.
I know you do. I know.
Teamwork.
You always said yes in the past.
Nothing better than teamwork.
You're using another bardic inspiration die.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't want people.
Even though you now know that the difficulty is only a 10.
Oh, never mind. I just take away
your bonus inspiration.
I fucking hate you.
No! You fall so hard.
Throw that dice away and
so
burn it.
The rope was not properly tied. You begin to fall. The rope sliding free around your belly, kind of leaving that nasty rope burn around your middle, not causing any damage. You begin to fall. You now must make a dexterity saving throw to try to catch yourself in some way upon the cavern.
Is this where I can use my immovable rod?
Yes, you'll have advantage on that check then.
Because I'm going to use it to try and hook into the wall.
You don't need to hook into the wall. You literally just push a button and the rod stops moving.
Oh yeah, okay.
However, the reason you're making the check with advantage is if you still fail this check, your fingers slip off the rod hangs there just fine, and you finish falling.
And then I get to go home.
So your difficulty is a 13.
There we go. Oh, good thing it was disadvantage because I rolled another one, 13.
So there you go. More than enough for you to grab hold of that rod. The rope pulls all three remaining figures fall onto their backs as the rope is shot forward, and you fear you have lost Oscar.
No!
You're hanging there, one hand, holding the immobile rod. Where did you keep the immobile rod on your personage as you were descending?
On my back.
You've hooked yourself, and it's caught up on your shirt,
yeah.
And you're dangling there.
It's like I was in elementary school.
And you've been put on a door hanger. Yeah,
exactly.
Excellent.
How far did I fall? When I accidentally...
Well, you didn't fall hardly at all because you made your save. You didn't take any damage, and you fell maybe only a couple of feet.
Okay, so I'm going to grab the rope again.
Well, the rope maybe is pulled a bit out of your reach as they all fell backwards and down.
I need you guys to move the rope around so I can grab it.
He's alive! We thought we lost you!
You may have inspiration. Three dwarven heads poke over the chimney, faces full of smoke, looking for your frame. What's the expression on your face as you look up at them?
It's kind of wide-eyed, kind of just staring at the sky.
See him dangling there by his, somehow or other, by his shirt, jerked upright, hanging him there.
At least you didn't keep the immovable rod in your pants. Then you would have had like a wedgie situation.
You are lowered down. They lower down the rope. You tie it around yourself again. That right across that burning, and it's very agonizing. You are lowered the rest of the way down using your immovable rod to finish the job to get you to the bottom.
Nice.
Do you send the immovable rod up with the rope for the next person to go down?
Sure. Let's be nice.
Then no one needs to make a check at this point as the rest of the team Yay. Makes their way down the 80-foot chimney to find their way into the kitchens of the Forge of Fury. And it is at this point, hidden amongst the pots and pans, finally in to the Forge of Fury itself, that we end today's game.
I thought you were going to say something jumps out.
A giant orc again.
I checked it. It's a bugbear.
Right?
Oh, thank goodness.
And sing with the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. And raise a glass and toast to the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales, a curated Dungeons & Dragons 5e game set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal adventure module by Wizards of the Coast. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. You can find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or at www.badbillyband.com or follow them on Twitter @badbillyband. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or find us on Twitter @tavern_tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.
But before I end the game, I'll do a quiet, quick little secondary scene that the rain falls on the crossroads where Melusine and Fogrim hung. And on the corner of the crossroads, a very wet, unhappy, shaggy sheepdog limply wags his tail and wonders if his rider and owner will ever come back to get him.